Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, you are now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful state, city, and state of Denver, Colorado. As you can see, this is a little evening show, but as you're coming in, we're going to do the roll call. So for the people that are catching this live, do the roll call. If you don't mind, tell them where you're from and coming. That'd be great. We got another great episode. Now, what am I going to do is I am going to let this know. Let me put this out on my Snapchat. Let me put this back on my, give me 1 second. I'm trying to put this coming in. And don't forget to say hello for the people that are coming in as well. All right. We are now live on YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. All right, here we go. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, as you are tuning in, as you're coming in, you're catching the show live, we're going to have a nice, good, live. And at 3 minute mark, we're going to acknowledge everybody that checks in live. So we have a pretty good episode today, guys and girls. We're going to talk about, we had the stock market plummet today. We also had oil, but not plummet. Stock market fell 500 points. Oil led the way. Real estate also showing some signs of weakness. So today's show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, we're going to go through what happened in the stock market, what happened with oil, what happened with real estate, and the opportunities that may possibly bring for people that are looking to or that are investing, or people just want to get a little better knowledge or better interpretation of what's going on in the market. You guys and girls seem to like me live, so I come in live. So as you come in, tell me where you're from. If you want me to acknowledge that during a roll call, and also don't forget to give it a thumbs up button as you're coming in. Thank you guys for checking me out on a little late evening show here in the beautiful state of Denver, Colorado. You know, I kind of like how this shirt kind of stand out a little bit. But there a lot of drama, a lot of things going on. And also, we're going to talk about what's happening tomorrow. We're going to get into earnings season. We have some big earnings coming out. What does that mean? What does earnings season mean? We're also going to get into reports that are due tomorrow. I don't know what's going on my microphone, why it wants to run away from me, but we're going to get it together. But anyway, we're going to talk about reports that are due tomorrow, financial reports, economical reports that are due tomorrow, and where to look them up at. And we're also going to discuss what happened. What are those reports? Where to find them? Where they're going to come out? And what does that mean? All right. And we're going to look at some pretty interesting information, current information on what's going on in the market today. All right. So we're now at the 3 minute mark. So we're going to go through and acknowledge everybody that has commented to acknowledge that they're here live. So once again, here we have, he said, Chuck is chilling, says, chilling is social. Okay. Got it. Chuck, thanks for tuning in. Also, William Vaughn says, "Hi, what's going on, William? William, you DM me. I think you was asking me about the ETF database. ETFs, to find ETFs, if you use E-Trade or TD Ameritrade, I guess I got to do a video to show you how to do that. But the reason why I'm saying I guess I got to do that, because that's the easiest way to probably do it. But you can look at it. If you have E-Trade or TD Ameritrade, you can search. You can go up under the research tab. And you can do a stock screener search to look for ETFs for a particular market you're looking for, okay? So I'm sorry about that. I didn't get a chance to get back to you. Thelma Wilson. Thelma is from Princeton. Prince, what do you think about the CARR? We're going to look into that. Since Thelma asked the first question, we're going to look into that one after we go through our topic. So thank you for chiming in and asking that, Thelma. We'll all look at it together. All right, we got the Ghost Hunter Czar. He's from here, from Kansas. Miss Amber Mode, hi from Philly. How you doing, Miss Amber? Miss Amber is back in the building. Courtney checking in from Chicago. Good evening. Nice to see you. Harloom Financial says, my man, what's going on, Harloom Financials? I think he's down there in Florida somewhere. Sawanki TV? Am I saying that right? I'm sorry, Sawanki. I'm halfway illiterate. But hello, she's from Mississippi. Nice, nice. We got Yarn. He's coming from Virginia. Mr. Lawman says hello. Nice. We got Shan from Memphis, Tennessee, that says she got an area code in there, 901. All right, we got you. Juanetta says hello. How you doing? Yeah, William Voss says sweet. Thank you. And we got Ken from Los Angeles. And we have Kevin from the 504 New Orleans checking in. Okay, who else we got here? How long from? Oh, we already know. He said West Palm Beach, where Trump lives. All right. So the first thing we're going to do, that is going to conclude our roll call for the people that came in and announced where they were from. So the first thing we're going to get into, the big topic of the day was oil. And we're going to get to your question too, Ms. Devin, as well. What we like to do, we do the roll call. Then we go through what happened in the market today. Then if people have questions, we'll go through those. And whoever asks first, we'll kind of go through the financial report itself, right? So the first thing I wanted to talk about was oil today, right? First, I want to give my outlook on oil, my thought process on oil. Probably a lot of you guys and girls probably already know, I'm not a huge fan of oil. The reason why is I feel though everything that's coming up new, I've said this plenty of times, everything that's coming up new with oil is, the demand for oil is slowly decreasing. First of all, in 2008, oil was a hot thing, over $100 a barrel. Now you fast forward today, it's what, $10, $15 a barrel, something like that or whatnot. And the main reason why is that every year we're coming out with hybrid cars. We got ships running off of nuclear power. Now, do the world still use oil? Yes. But every time you see a new invention, it comes out to use less and less and less oil. So people are slowly trying to get away from the world's dependency of oil. And then on top of that, it is controlled by an entity called OPEC. OPEC is an agreement or organization or agreement. It's more like a conglomerate where a bunch of countries or producing, like the top oil producing countries in the world, they get together and they kind of decide on how much oil they're going to pump to try to control the prices of oil. I ain't got no time for that. You know, one day Iraq get mad at Iran and they pump a bunch of oil, and I wake up and oil is going down. Then I look at the future of oil. I see that everything you see coming out these days, they try to get rid of two things. They always try to get rid of oil, and they always try to get rid of people. So they try to do things with less people and with less oil dependency. So when I look at that, when I'm looking at making a future investment, with my knowledge, with my simplistic way of thinking, I don't want to be a part of something that every time I see somebody say, hey, we're using hybrid. Oh, we have electrical cars. Oh, we have electrical this. This burns less oil. And we're always trying to get to another resource. So I don't have time with that. Then it's controlled by an entity that decides on when they're going to pump oil, when they're not going to pump oil, the demand. That's too convoluted for me. Next. So today, you know, they had a big, guess what happened with oil, right? Exactly what I was kind of alluding to, that I've always been my stance. You know, people are not driving as much. People are not going out the house as much. So the demand for oil is down. These people pumped all this oil. So now the producers pumped all this oil out of the ground. They're literally paying somebody to get the oil off their hands. So that itself causes oil prices to drop. I don't have time for that. That's my personal opinion. And with the oil price dropping, it took the whole stock market with it today. So that being said, it's going to lead us into our next thing. Oil led the way and took down the whole stock market. And by the way, too, ladies and gentlemen, now you can get an Investor Show Cup. It's the only way to read a 10K. But anyway, speaking of the stock market, what happened today? We've seen the whole market go down. The Dow Jones went down 500 points. The leading sector that went down was utilities, followed by real estate, followed by energy, right? So we've seen, you know, they didn't fall too hard, but it all fell about a little bit over 3%. So these are the top three sectors that fell, was utilities, real estate, and energy, right? So now the market, it had a drawback from oil. I think it was a little overreaction. The market will probably bounce back tomorrow after we get to our next report. So going with that, I always told people my stance on real estate. We're going to lead into our next topic, which is real estate. Real estate, how it happened was, y'all kind of like how I got it set up a little bit, flowing a little bit. Okay. So now oil, you know, real estate was the number two least performing sector today. If you tuned into Friday's show, you heard me talk about this in all week or the last 2 weeks. You heard about my thought process on real estate. And my thought process on real estate, with millions of people losing their jobs, with millions of people being laid off, furloughed, all this other good stuff like that, who's going to pay the rent? Who's going to pay the mortgages? Who's going to pay the leases? If nobody's been inside of Applebee's and Chili's and Cheesecake Factory, all these big, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, how are they going to pay their lease without having any money for the entire month? So that was my first thought process. Now you're seeing companies, I'm seeing states like Georgia, Texas. Texas talking about opening up this week. Next week they're talking about Georgia, I saw, was opening up next week. So we kind of get in this sentiment of Trump is trying to get President Trump is trying to get the economy back open, get everybody open, back and running. People are fighting because, you know, their small businesses are going to go out of business if they don't open those doors back up. So that's the first thing, right? So now my thought process has always been, if everybody's laid off, who's going to pay the rent? If companies are not open, if you own the Cheesecake Factory, and who's eating Cheesecake Factory through the drive-thru? Probably little to nobody, right? So guess what? The Cheesecake Factory, I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys, girls, been, if you haven't, just Google it. You can see it's a pretty nice size facility. So that means that the lease is probably nice size. And they already put out a statement saying how they wasn't going to pay their lease. So then that leads me to think real estate is in trouble. So real estate performed very bad. And to take advantage of this, guys and girls, what I did was What I did, guys and girls, I'm going to share my screen here. Y'all give me 1 second. So what I went ahead and did was I pulled up a way to benefit off of the debacle with real estate. So as you can see here, I have a stock symbol by the symbol of DRV. DRV, that is Delta, Romeo, and Victor. So Delta, Romeo, and Victor is a leverage, it's a inverse ETF, meaning that as real, it's an inverse real estate ETF, meaning that as real estate goes down, this goes up in value. So it's one I gave away to plenty of people plenty of times, finally pulled a trigger on it Friday. And as you can see, guys and girls, it is up. It went up 11% today because we see that real estate went down. So this is a way to benefit off of, if you think real estate is in for trouble, it's a way you can benefit off the downside of real estate. Now, if the market does a V-shape and return and real estate gets back on track and we're doing good, then guess what? This is going to do very bad. But this is a way, and this is actual percentage to show you, you can look it up yourself, how you can benefit off of real estate taking a downturn. So the next up, what we're going to do, we're going to read another topic while we're on real estate that came out today by realtor.com. So we're going to talk about what the report that came out today. Then next, we're going to get into the real estate report that is due to tomorrow. So next up, we're going to go into, y'all give me 1 second. I'm going to share my screen. Give me 1 second to pull it up. Right. So this is from realtor.org. Let me get my name off of there. I don't need all my. This is from realtor.com. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. So we wanted to pull up, news and insight. So we want to go here to the latest news. And the reason why I'm reciting news.realtor.org is because this is where a lot of places like CNBC, they rely for reports to come out, all this other good stuff, right? So I don't care about news and insight. I'll give it 1 second. I just had this thing up. Real estate news. All right. So right here, you see this came out on April 17, which was Friday, I believe, right? So here we go here. At the coronavirus crisis has evolved, right? Pretty much long story short, they're going to talk about here. You can see right here. In the past few weeks, the number of homes for sale on realtor.com has plummeted nearly a half as sellers are pulling them off the market or holding their listings throughout the coronavirus. As non-essential business remain stuttered and unemployment has soared, reaching 22 million jobs claims in the last 4 weeks, home price growth is starting to begin to slow. So right here, guys and girls, I know I stumbled through, but that's a little paragraph. This is saying that people are pulling their houses off the market. People are pulling their houses off the market. Two, people that were in the market for houses, now JP Morgan just said, hey, not only do you need a 700 credit score, but you also are going to need 20% down on your home. So you need 20% down plus a 700 credit score. That itself is going to decrease the demand for new homes. So homeowners, if you're getting ready to sell your home, they're pulling them off the market and they're trying to wait till all of this clears out and hopefully jump back on the market later on. So I think that this is going to create a panic within a seller's market. Think if you was a person that was looking to sell your house this year. Your house was going for a good price in January, a very good price in February. Coronavirus hits. Now you pull it off of the market. When they put these things back on the market, I think they're going to try to get them off as the fastest bidder possible. I think it's going to shift into a buyer's market, right? Because people who were already selling, they're going to accelerate the selling because they want to hurry up and get out before the coronavirus takes, you know, takes control or whatever, right? So this is what we're seeing right here as non-essential businesses. This got put out by realtor.com, right? They're saying that how the listing for homes have declined, people pulling their houses off the market. Now, we're going to get into the report that's due to tomorrow. So the report, the economical report that's due tomorrow is called the existing home sales. So we're going to look at what's due tomorrow. See, I don't want you guys and girls to wake up and look at, oh my God, wake up to news. You shouldn't be waking up to news every day, right? You should already know what's coming up tomorrow. So tomorrow, the report that is due is existing home sales. So this is going to be put out by the National Association of Realtors. So this is February. So in February, of course, they're saying here existing home sales jumped 6.5. This was put out on March 20th. So March 20th, you know, not March 20th, but April 20th is today. So tomorrow they're going to put out existing home sales. So when they put out existing home sales, this pretty much tells you how many single family homes and condos are sold in the month of March. So we're probably going to see a decline. The beginning of March probably was looking good. The coronavirus hit. I'm pretty sure people stopped buying houses. So right here, you're going to see on the National Association of Realtors, this site, you're going to be able to get, you know, the existing home sales. So right here, existing home sales, they climbed substantially in February after a slight decline in January, according to the National Association of Realtors of the four regions. Only the Northeast region reported a drop in sales while the others saw an increase, including a sizable sales gain in the West. So not only will this tell you about the home sales across the nation, it's going to break it down to realtors. This is going to come out tomorrow. This can spook the market depending on how these numbers look. If home existing home sales started to drop or decline, then you can see a drop or decline in real estate and an increase in DRV. So I hope that makes sense to you, right? Now, the other piece is we got into, those are the things I want to talk about for you guys and girls today. So now we're going to get into some of the comments before we jump back into the first comment that asked about CARR. I think that was Ms. Stelman when I asked about CARR. Right? So here we go. Let's see what we got, some comments here. All right, Ms. Joyce says, hi, Prince from Tampa. Nice to see you, Ms. Joyce, down in Tampa. Nina says, hey, from Richmond, Virginia. I think that says Neen, Aseline, Riley E, but we're just going to say Neen, right? One second, y'all. Right? Then we got Ms. Teresa from Waynesboro, Georgia. Okay, that's my hometown. A little small town of Waynesboro, Georgia. Bitcoin success, earnings tomorrow on JetBlue Thoughts. Buy or sell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just get into it. Tomorrow is also, this week is earnings season. You probably saw me post about this on YouTube today. This is going to be the airline season. Starting today after the market, American Airlines is supposed to report. JetBlue is coming out tomorrow. Delta is coming out this week. All of the Spirit is coming out this week. Everybody's coming out this week. So you're going to get a very good look on airlines. He said earnings on JetBlue tomorrow. It's two things that can happen throughout the whole airline industry. The airline industry got bailed out for one. I don't know if JetBlue was on that list that I saw from the treasury.gov, but the airline industry, I know Southwest Airlines got bailed out, Delta, American, all the big boys got bailed out. I think JetBlue was on that list, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But majority of the airlines got bailed out. That's one thing. The second thing is everybody is already expecting a deep loss from the airline industry. So that big drop, Delta was $60 before it took a downturn to $20. So that could already be accumulated. Those losses that we're going to see tomorrow can already be baked into the price. So we could actually see a jump tomorrow because we already baked in those losses. Or if these reports come out worse than we expected, we could really see a downturn. But I think we could see a turnaround as the economy slowly opens back up. That means that the guidance that the CEO will give could be very beneficial for us. So it's up and up. If it was me, the smart thing to do, Bitcoin success, is to stop, don't do anything, wait until the reports come out, then make your move. Because you could end up buying today, they could really crap the bed tomorrow, and you could get a better price tomorrow. Or it could go up a little bit. So the last thing you want to do is to jump on Delta now or jump on American Airlines now, and then the company just really goes to trash, and now you already have a loss. So the smartest thing to do, wait and make a better guess and make, you know, so we can use better judgment. All right, that would be my take, but good way of thinking. She said, do you know the ticker symbol for oil? You have OIL, WTI, Whiskey Tango India, WTI, for crude oil. So she's looking at buying oil. She look at oil has gone down or whatnot. She sees a very good opportunity. It's too risky over there. I don't have time for it. But it's WTI, Whiskey Tango India. The Silver Line. Hi, Prince. Staten Island is in the house. Okay, Staten Island. Nice, nice. Nice to see you. Harlem Financial. Xerox is looking really nice, Prince. Okay, we'll look into that one later. We got my man, Michael. What's up, Prince? How are you and Hope the Money fam are doing well? Yeah, I hope you guys and girls are doing well. Thanks for everybody that's checking in. He said, great ad for the cups. I know, right? Yeah, you know, Chuck is chilling. I had some people like, Prince, do you even drink coffee? You know, where can I get some mugs? And I was just like, all right, cool. So, bam, now the mug is available. Harlem Financials, Cheesecake Factory already told the landlords they aren't paying the rent. Exactly. Exactly right. You remember that, right? Cheesecake Factory already came out and said, man, we ain't got it. Where do you think we're going to get this from? Rose Speak. She's a realtor, a New York. She is a North Carolina realtor, Miss Mia Barnett. All right. Thank you for tuning in from North Carolina, Miss Barnett. You can definitely feel free and tell us what you think about the real estate market and how is it looking out there, especially, you know, as a realtor. Proud Dad said, what's up, Prince? My wife was talking to her mom about you, and my mother-in-law knows your mom. Small world. Oh, really? Oh, wow. She said, I was talking to my wife about you and her mom, and my mother-in-law says she knows your mom. Yes. Yes, everybody out there, my mom passed away in 2013. Actually, she passed away. Princess Marie Dykes, that's who I dedicated my first book to. She passed away in 2013. But yeah, definitely small world. All right. And who else we got here? Oh my God, here we go. We got Miss Athena. What she said? What's up, Prince? I brought a put against XRL today with a $60 out. I'll sell once I hit my profit margin. Look, see, Athena, you took a little bit more risk, right? She did a put option against XLRE, which is real estate, right? Now, the reason why that is a little bit more risky when she purchased a put is it has an expiration date. So she's hoping that the price of real estate drops, you know, within the next 60 days. So with me, you know, now the good thing about a put, you know exactly how much you're going to lose, but with a put, you have an expiration date. Versus with a DRV, I know exactly what I can lose. My upside is unlimited, and I don't have to be right on the expiration date. So, I mean, but it's tomato, tomato. I like the way of thinking, you know, just different ways to attack, right? So definitely, and she's definitely, and real estate really craps a bit, she's going to be very profitable. So that's another way. You can buy a put against XLRE, which is a real estate sector, right? Deadly River says, good. He said, good. I got here slightly early. Yeah, nice, nice. Thank you for coming in. Kevin says, Prince, you mentioned in a previous video the financial sector will profit off of interest rates from all these loans, but wouldn't it be the opposite given that they're at a higher chance of defaults? So you're right, Kevin. So loans work perfectly fine. You're right. I said this about Bank of America and all these companies. They was going to get this bailout money, and people are like, well, hold on. Well, wouldn't these people default? What if these people default? That's the risk, right? That's the risk that they're going to assume if people default against the loans they give out. So guess what? They're probably not going to give them out as fast and easy as people think they are. So they're going to pick and choose the way they're going to give it, because loans work perfectly fine as long as people pay them back on time. That kind of rhymed a little bit. loans work perfectly fine as long as they're paid back on time. Oh, I gotta put me a financial album out. But yes, you're right. With so many people potentially could default, if these people don't pay back the loans that small businesses don't give out, it will put them at risk. But banks know this. What is the first thing that JP Morgan said? JP Morgan was like, hold up, wait. You need a 700 credit score plus you need a 700 credit score plus you need 20% down, and I'm going to look at your job and your income. So automatically they raise the bar quick. So because they know that. They know that, hey, I got this money. It's all good, fine and dandy if I lean it out. But if they don't pay back this money, then that's when, you know, I could be in problems and situations. So if the underlining, just like insurance companies are great as long as they give it to people that are at a low risk. Insurance companies are bad when they give insurance to people that are high risk that actually make claims. Insurance company will go out of business if more than 5% of the people made claims. Same thing with a loan, right? You know that, hey, I'm giving out this. Put yourself, Kevin, in the shoes of a bank. You got this money to the government to give to small businesses. You're not just going to be like, here, you get a car, you get a car, you get a loan, you get a loan, you get a loan. Ooh, I'm going to make all this money. No, you better do your research. Freddie Butler, Freddie B, Langston, Illinois. What's going on, Freddie B? How you doing? We got Jay Biz. He said, what's popping? What's going on, Jay Biz? Mr. Lawsman, what do you think about the IBM stock? I look into that one later. To me, I think it's a little old school, personally. I think they dropped 3% today, too. He said the oil drop today was wild. See, but Jay Biz, we already spoke about this in my thought process on oil. I'm not too crazy about that. Ken, if you were invested into a bank, which one would you choose? JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan. JP Morgan. I would go with JP Morgan. Ooh, it's a tough one between Wells Fargo and Bank of America. But I'd probably go JP Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo at the bottom. Wells Fargo, the PR nightmare. And, you know, so, yeah, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. That would be my picks, Ken. He said, Deadly Rivet. Yes. One of my episodes, they gave Southwest Airlines got $3.2 million. A couple of them got bailed out. Let them, you know, the Department of Treasury, Stephen Munch, he came out and he's pretty much said he's going to bail them out through the PPP program, the Payroll Protection Program. And they gave enough money to keep everybody on payroll until September so they don't lay anybody off. So, you know, but they also issue warrants on the money. They only have to pay back a third of the loan. So a third of it, they got to pay back at a very low interest rate that they didn't put out. But then the government can buy stocks in each one of those companies that get a bailout. So what you call warrants. He likes JPM best, Ken. See, look, she already knew what I was going to say. Oh, he, those hunters, okay. You said, are there any oil bull stocks? You mean bull or bear? If you mean bull, you can do WTI. You have companies like, you have individual oil companies like ExxonMobil. You can get into the whole oil index, you know, the energy index, which is XLE, X-Ray Lima E, XLE. You can get the whole GUSH. G-U-S-H, you can get in a GUSH, because I'm pretty sure, I haven't even looked up GUSH, but I'm pretty sure GUSH got beat up today. Let's look at it. Let's see how bad GUSH got beat up today. Huh. GUSH actually went up 3% today. That's kind of weird. Maybe because it tracks the entire, they're doing oil and gas maybe, but I thought GUSH would probably get beat up today, but GUSH didn't get beat up today. WTI. But if you want to bet against oil, I think it's called SD. I can't remember off the top of my head. SDOC, what the stock symbol was? So, okay. Hey, how you doing, Miss Shelly? She says, good afternoon. How you doing, Ms. Shelly Hems? Gush, Kevin, I think you're talking to somebody else. Miss Butterscotch, how you doing, Miss Butterscotch? Shout out to Miss Butterscotch she was one of the followers that purchased the entire Wesley Learns series that helped me sell out of Wesley Learns book series. So I definitely appreciate your contribution. Thank you. Chuck B, what's going on? He said the delegation's in the house. What's going on, Chuck B? Nice to see you here. So we're going to get into some more good stuff. I'm just going down. Hey, Prince, I'm from, Antonio Gish, we already know where you're from. He's from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is in the house. Okay. He said he just brought some WTI on the oil spill. That's beef. Beef is always big on oil, but I kind of told y'all what I was thinking, you know? Y'all give me one second. So, is there going to be another stimulus check for the government? If so, what's up, Prince? Where's the money coming from? You know where it's coming from, man. We're going to print it up. Department of Treasury, they're going to hit the print button, and they're going to print it up, right? So, when they print up all this money and they hand it out, I believe another round of stimulus. If we don't get this economy back open, another round of stimulus is going to come up. I've seen crazy stuff going through the House talking about giving everybody $2,000 a month for the next 6 months. They're talking about all type of crazy stuff, and that money is going to get printed up. And as money is printed, it's going to drive the price of gold up. How can you benefit with that? G-L-D-I-A-U. So as the government continues to print money, the value of the dollar goes down, the price of gold goes up. So that could be a way to leverage and benefit off of so many stimuluses. So before I get into another one, let's go back. I had a question up here first. One second. Okay. Someone asked me, who asked him about car? Who was the first person? Was Miss? There we go. Miss Thelma Wilson said, Thelma in from Princeton, what do you think about car, C-A-R-R? I'm not familiar with this one, so we're going to look this one up together. And, of course, we're going to utilize Yahoo Finance. And the reason why I utilize Yahoo Finance, because I know them over there. They're good people. They came on the show. But most importantly, anybody can get to Yahoo Finance. If I pull it up on E-Trade or something like that, you guys and girls may not be able to fall from that, you know, follow that. But, yeah, after a stock drops off drastically like oil did, of course it's going to have a less little rebound. But that's just something that I'm not into. Okay. So let me share my screen here so you guys and girls can see. Okay, so this is Carrier Global Corporation. This is what was asked, right? So the first thing we're going to do, I'm going to look up the, where's the profile? There we go. We're going to look up the profile. And as we look up the profile today, this is a, okay, it's an industrial buildings and products and equipment. Okay. It's based out of Florida, Palm Beach Gardens. Okay. So it's in the industrial area arena, dealing with buildings, products, and equipment. So that's what they're kind of telling me quick about the company. So we can get a little description down here. So Carrier Global provides heating. Okay, heating, venting, air conditioning, HVAC, refrigeration, fire, security, building. Okay. So that's first thing I want to do is see, get a general idea of what this company is. So we can look at this and follow the description, and we can see a little bit about this company. Right. So it's a HVAC, does refrigeration, fire, security, building stuff we kind of need in a building. Technologies worldwide. So, OK, so the first thing I want to do, I want to go down to your finances. Let's see what the money looks like. So the first thing, I don't know, somebody want to text me like 15 times right now, but OK. But the first thing we're going to do, we're going to look at the balance sheet. All right. So where's the balance sheet? All right, why is it? That's the income statement. Balance sheet. I don't want to see. Hold on, what's going on here? I don't want premium access to this thing. If not, then I'm going to have to go to one of my E-Trade accounts, something like that or whatnot. I don't know why it's not pulling up right now. What's going on? Okay. Y'all give me 1 second. Let me pull up another account. Since we can't get in that way. There's 10 million ways to skin a cat. That was C-A-R-R. So we saw what this company was about, like an HVAC company does security, a lot of things for a building. So we're going to go to the fundamentals, and I'm going to look at the balance sheet. So I just went ahead and pulled it up via E-Trade, right? So here you guys and girls go. Let me share my screen again. All right, here we go. Let's take a look at the balance sheet. Oh, it's a pretty new company, huh? It only been around for 2 years. So not a whole lot of data to see on the company. I can see they have the 2018 annual report, then they had a 2019. So they have a little cash on hand, okay. Total assets of 5.9. Ooh. No, sorry. Total assets of 22. So they have total assets of 22,406, but I think they convert this into millions. Well, they don't say it up here, so I have to go by what they got. 22,406 is their total assets. Their total, okay. So their liabilities come out to be 8,306. 8,300 liabilities, okay. So they have a total shareholders equity of about, what, 14,000? Okay, so it's a positive company. Turns a profit. Now, long-term investments, pretty the same. Let's see how much debt they got on hand. Total current assets, 5.9. Total current assets are important relating to debt. This shows how fast a company can, within 1 year, how much can they turn this stuff into cash, right? So now let's see how much debt this company has on hand. Let's go ahead to the liabilities. Current expenses. Ooh, I'm not going to lie. Ladies and gentlemen, that's very important. Right? Even though this is a new company, that's very important. They have zero total long-term debt. Zero total. Look at that. No debt. This company has no debt. I got to write down this company. It has no debt. It has a good bit of assets on hand, has a nice grip of cash. That's looking pretty sexy, y'all, just off of the balance sheet. So this company has zero debt. Very interesting. Zero debt. Even though it's pretty new, zero debt. That's very, very interesting. So no debt with a nice little cash pile. Okay. That's good. Let's look at the income statement. No, it was a, I don't know why they didn't get a report. Maybe they started in 2017. So their revenue is slightly growing. Nothing too big. You can see right here their total revenue went from 17 to 18. Okay. Accrued expenses. Total order expenses, operating income. I don't care about income after tax. I want to see the net income. So the net income is kind of nothing too crazy there. Okay. Net income, accrued interest, earnings per share. I don't care about that. Okay, so not too bad. And it's $14, I think it was. It has a market cap of $12 billion. That market cap is a little high, but it pays no dividend. It's $14. I don't know much about the company, but I do like that it has a nice little cash flow with zero to no debt, right? So zero to no debt. So that's pretty cool. Let's take a look at the insiders. Let's see who owns this company. Let's look at the ownership. What? So this company is owned by zero big investors. No institutional investors. Zero institutional investors. So now, ladies and gentlemen, this company is moving without the big boys. So if the big boys, if the investment managers get involved buying, if they start buying this company, this stock is going to go through the roof. Because right now, zero non-institutional investors. Investment managers, zero hold this company. 0%, right? So this is a pretty nice nice company so far. You got to follow. It's a little new, but that no debt. No debt with a nice little cash pile coming through. No long-term debt. That's pretty nice. Nice little current assets. That's pretty nice. So, you know, I would say that passed the initial smell test. That does pass the initial smell test. So you guys and girls kind of saw how I did that one? Okay, I'm making sure I catch up with everybody else. So yeah, Beef Entertainment says he brought the WTI on the oil spill. So yes, oil had a big drop today. It'll probably have a little bounce. It probably won't stay there forever. So you'll probably make a little bit money coming back off of the bounce on oil. So nice little pull. I think you're going to get a little money off of that. Not long term. I don't think it's too volatile long term. Wayne said, is there going to be another stimulus check for the government? If so, what's up? Where's this money coming from? Oh, yeah, we spoke on that one already. Then we got Bones. He says, what's up, brother? I've been scaling for a week, waiting for the next huge drop. Yeah, scaling for a week. You know, about the next drop, I mean, I told you guys and girls, buy now, keep a little cash just in case things go. We have a 90% chance of the market going up. I mean, we know that. By next summer, we're probably going to be at new highs. That's like a 90% chance, if not this year. We got a 90% chance of that happening, right? But we have about a 20 to 30% chance of another drop before that happens. So me being a long-term investor, I said, you know what? I'm going to jump in now. I don't, you know, I can't wait. I can't time it. I don't know when the next drop is going to come. Yes, I see unemployment. I see jobless claims. This Thursday, we're going to get new jobless claims reports. I'm looking at real estate. It's not looking too good. The economy is shut down. But on the flip side, we know, you know, Texas is talking about opening up. Georgia's talking about opening up. Other states are talking about opening up. And this thing might just take off to the sky. And I don't have time to be sitting here waiting and trying to catch the bottom. I'm not smart enough to pick bottoms. You know, if I was, I would be a trillionaire. Kevin said oil dropped today, but Gush didn't. How come? See, oil, yes, Gush didn't drop today. That was very surprising. The big thing you got to look at, Gush is more than oil. J-U-S-H is more than oil. It has energy in it as well. And that's still tricky, you know. So that's the entire sector. Gush is just not oil. That's oil and energy. So I was very shocked by that. I thought Gush would have probably got beaten up today, but I was very shocked by that. But I do know, when you purchase a sector, it's less riskier than buying a stock. Now, if you own ExxonMobil, that's way more riskier than owning Gush, because the sector, the oil and energy sector, that's what Gush tracks on the bullish side, right? So on the bullish side, going up, it tracks and it leverages Gush on the upside, right? But if you just brought an oil company, Shell's oil, ExxonMobil, you're getting more exposure to oil. So that could be my only way to make sense of it, Kevin. I'm very shocked by that myself. Maddie Small said, on the check-in. Okay, appreciate it. Thanks for checking in on the roll call. Daly says, wow, I didn't know they were going to do that, but I didn't expect this. Thanks for the info, Prince. Anytime. Oh, he said Gush just came off of a split. Beef, you got Gush too? So maybe that could have been it too. But yeah, it was kind of weird when I saw that. Orin Davis says, peace, bro. What's going on, Orin Davis? Thank you for checking in. Mario Evans, he said, yo, what's up, Keen? That's my guy, Mario. Shouts out to Mario Evans. Mario Evans was another guy who, another supporter who purchased the entire series of Wesley Learns. Thank you for supporting. I tell people all the time, they want to support me, don't donate to me. I don't need a donation. I'd rather you support the products, right? If you already have the product, give them to your nieces, nephew, uncles, cousins, schools, whatever. Courtney Rogers says, I need to get that Wesley Learns for my son. He turns 8 soon. He needs to step his game up. That's what I'm talking about, man. You got to get it, man. You learn all this stuff now. Give it to your kids as early as possible. I'm going to give you guys, girls, something positive, too. One thing I did for my son, I don't have it around me now, but my son got his very first credit card. Right? He didn't get his own credit card. He got added onto my account as an authorized user of my credit card. So, you know, with me, I do have pretty good credit. I do pay my bills, on time. So this is a way to start building his credit at the age of 9. So for his ninth birthday, I got him a credit card, pretty much added him onto my credit card I already had. So he's an authorized user. He technically can use it, but he'll never see that credit card. I think I showed it to him once, told him what it was, what it was about, but it stays in my wallet, and it's a way to kind of help build him credit. Now, granted, in life, I hope he have to never use credit, never worry about it, but in a world where everything revolves around credit, you might as well start building that for your child now. But that's for a child show. That's for a kid show. But we'll get into that later. Kevin said, thoughts on EUG. It's a gold inverse, a gold inverted bull. Okay. Nug, N-U-G-T. If it's a gold, I don't know. Gold, I don't know why gold hasn't taken off. Not yet. You know, I mean... I really thought gold would be shooting up, running for the clouds. People said because of equities, all of the good stuff. But it hasn't been, you know, I haven't seen too much activity in the gold run except when we got those stimulus checks. When they signed off those stimulus checks, that's when I seen gold run. So that's the way I look at it. So I'm not too crazy about it myself. It could be something good, but I don't know about that. I haven't seen gold have too much activity, not yet at least. I've been waiting on it. I have IAU, but I haven't seen too much volatility there yet. Ken, do you think BA stock will be affected by the airlines earnings that are coming up? Yes, I think so. That's why Boeing got beat up so bad, because if the airlines earnings reports are bad and they give out bad guidance, they're not going to buy planes from Boeing. That's the number one or one of their biggest sellers. So, yes, Boeing is going to be right there with the with the airline stocks. DJ says, salute. I see all the major players dumping all day, pump and dump. Yeah, a lot of them are, a good bit of them because of oil pressures and whatnot. But in the long run, if you're on the bull side, you'll win. Michael said, my condolences about your mom. She raised you well. Thank you. Yes, my mom was, she died at 66. She was a school teacher. She was a school teacher before she became an elementary teacher. So, yep, that's my mom. She died at, but it's about 6 years ago now. Almost up on September will be 6 years ago. Wow, that's kind of hard to believe. But yeah. Young Company. Yes, that's a young company that we just looked at. You're right, Courtney Rogers. Harloon Financial said, Carr just spun off from United Technologies along with Otis, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, then that would make sense why we don't have that much data on those two companies that we just looked up. Goodness gracious. Right. Courtney says it looks good. It's a young company. Yes. With no debt, things like that. That's probably how it could have spun off. So, you know, just tune in. What company is this? Yes. The company was CARR. Ladies and gentlemen, that's CARR. That's Charlie Alpha Romeo Romeo. That was the company stock symbol. It was a HVAC company, and I'm hearing that it just spun off, but we just did a quick little look at their finances and their prices and stuff like that. Pretty profitable company. Nice little startup they got. Oh, he's talking about Carr. Okay. Max B, what's going on? What's going on, Max B? Chuck is chilling. There's an article saying that the price will go to $20, and this might be a once in a lifetime. Come on, y'all. Chuck be chilling. Stop that, man. People will say it's a once in a lifetime opportunity to buy Sears, a once in a life opportunity to buy JCPenney when they were collapsing. So that stuff, that's probably why the stock went up. But it has no institutional buyers. So that means that individual people probably was running up the price because of that article. Could be a classic pump, but they got the finances to back it up. They do have the finances looking pretty. Finances looking nice. I don't even read no article. I didn't look up on the article. We looked at the finances. Little to note, they had zero long-term debt. They had zero debt on their books, and they bringing in cash and capital. If they manage that properly, That's a sign of a gold mine. Oh, I like how that rhymes. That's a sign of a gold mine. I got to do me an album. Let me write these verses. Straight bars. Okay, hold on. Let me talk to him. He said, adding car to the watch list. Yeah, this definitely. They got the finances to back it up, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Harloon Financials. That's CH19. Harloon Financials says, Exron, nice company and a very strong dividend. All right, let's look at Xerox. Xerox was number two. Let's look up Xerox. Let's see if Yahoo Finance want to play now. Had an attitude earlier. Was I calling Xerox Exxon early? Good Lord. And okay, Xerox Holding is $17. Let me share my screen on Xerox. Ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to be looking at Xerox Holding, right? So here we go. All right. Mm-hmm. Nice little PE. Ooh, very low PE ratio. All right. Everybody know what Xerox is, right? I think I do. I just know they make paper and computers and print, not computers, but like printers and stuff. Technology company. So, oh, I forgot. This is another one, right? I want to look at the chart. I'm going to look at the last 10 years. I'm looking at the last 10 years to see how has this company performed in a bull market. So we're going to compare it to the S&P 500. And let's look at the last 5 years. So now this is one thing I don't like, right? So when I look at a company like this, oh my goodness, I don't want that. So make sure I got the right thing in here. That's it. So when I look at a company like this, Xerox Holdings, strong earnings or whatnot, and I look at the last 5 years in a bull market, and you can see it has underperformed the S&P 500. So I probably would have been better off just investing to the S&P 500. Because if you can't beat the S&P 500, you might as well invest with the S&P 500. So when I'm looking at the S&P 500, I'm like, okay, well, if this company's not beating the S&P in the bull market, I might as well just jump somewhere else, right? So I'm looking for companies. That's another thing I forgot to do with the other company, but it's so short. But I like to see companies in the bull market. Do you have a history of beating the S&P 500? If not, why should I spread my money into all these different companies when I can just buy a person who just bought the index pretty much beat Xerox? So that's one indicator that I look at that's a knock on it automatically. Looking at your performance versus the S&P 500 index. Now we have the finances. Okay, total revenue is kind of falling a little bit on the income statement. Gross profits have been on a decline. So y'all can see revenue is slowly kind of declining just a tad bit. All the way to 2019, gross profits are slowly declining. I don't like that either. But I see that their interest, so when I look at their research and development is declining. That's a good thing. The less money you put out in research and development, the more money goes into the company's pockets. Total operating expenses, $2.1 million. Okay, interest. So I can see the interest payment is declining. That's a good thing. That means that the debt is getting lower and lower. A net income. Okay. Well, this is positive right here. A good point. They have a growing net income. So in 2016, it was negative of $500,000. Then, in 2017, it was $195,000. Then in 2018, it was $361,000. Now you're looking at the net income at $1.3 million in 2019. So I do like to see net income growing because the revenue is slowing down. I can see the revenue going down. I can see the gross profits going down. but I'm seeing you bring more money home. So I mean, you could be possibly, even though your money is getting lower, that means that the company could be managing their money properly. Like you losing your job, you're not making as much money as you used to. So you cut off Netflix, you may cut off cable, phone, or whatever. So you're taking more money home. So I do like that. Okay. Tiba, ain't that too much stand alone. Now let's look at the balance sheet. Let's see where the money at. All right. All right. Okay. We got growing cash. Cash is looking good at 2.7 mil. It's up from 3 years ago. The total assets are growing, kind of bouncing around. So guys, I put up a formula. I forgot what the formula was called, CALC. It's a formula you can utilize. I'm going to do that one day, but not on this episode. But I'm going to show you, you can figure out the growth rate of when you're looking at companies that's bouncing up and down. I can show you the growth rate so you can compare it to other companies. So we got the total assets, 6.1 mil. Then we have, okay, what else we got here? The goodwill. I'm not going to get into that on this show. So, okay. They got 15 million in assets in 2019. Ooh, the debt is kind of high. Current debt of one point, they got $1 million of debt. Accounts payables, $1 million. Accounts payables, who they need to pay. Deferred revenues. Then long-term debt is decreasing. So a rule of thumb, ladies and gentlemen, what people are doing, put y'all in on something. When you look at a company's long-term debt, you want to ask yourself, can they pay off that debt with their net earnings? Can 3 years of net earnings pay off the debt that they have? Like Xerox has $3.2 million in long-term debt as of last year, right? So now that we see that, let's go back to this. What was their net earnings last year? So right here, they had $1.3 million in net income. So they can take, if they stop doing everything else, they can pay off their debt with their earnings within 3 years. So that means their debt is manageable. That's an equation to show you guys and girls that debt is manageable by looking at the net income and then looking at the long-term debt. So if they really wanted to, they can pay that $3 million back. That means that their debt is manageable. It's a rule of thumb, right? Out of some book I read. 15 million total assets, 19 million total at what you call it. So they have a total equity of 5.8. Pretty solid financials, right? Debt is pretty manageable. They have a nice bit of good earnings in cash. So Xerox, I would have to compare you to the other people in your industry, but not too bad there. How many shows teach y'all how to fish like that? Most people talk about articles, what they said, what they heard. I'm teaching guys and girls how to read those financial reports because you got to be, it took me a while to learn this as an investor, but finances is the way business talk, right? All right, here we go. C-Lane, what's up, Prince? What would be your strategy to become a millionaire through the stock market? The only way you can become a millionaire through the stock market is first, you got to figure out how much money can you invest every month? When do you want to become a millionaire, right? And how much risk you want? So how much money do you have to invest every month? Do you got $500 a month, $600 a month? Are you trying to become a millionaire in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or whatnot? If you want to take 20 years and you got $500 a month, you can tell, I'm not going to do it right now, but I can tell what rate of return that you need. And if you need, and that would tell you, hey, I need to make 20% a year to become a millionaire. Now, how you can become a millionaire? Maybe you could go through day trading. Maybe you could go through Forex. Maybe you can develop a strategy to help you reach that 20% a year. That's going to be extremely hard to do 20% a year, 30% a year or whatnot, but it has been done. So the way I've always seen it done is long-term investors who pick companies that have a durable competitive advantage. And let me tell you something I learned too. Kind of pissed me off a little bit, but it's part of the game. So companies, people always say, Prince, why are you investing in big companies? Big companies like a Microsoft, Amazon, Netflix, or whatnot, they have a large cash pile, right? They have a large total assets. So for prime example, and that's used as a barrier of entry. Let's say for prime example, let's take this little cup of water, right? Take this cup of water, right? Let's say somebody's trying to buy, let's say if I was, I had a water hose in the backyard and I was filling up water and I would sell it to people and I was making a killing. And I start to make a killing. Everybody's going to look at me and say, wow, that guy's making a killing off of water that's coming out of a water hose. Everybody else is going to start to do it because they're like, hey, I got a water hose. That's easy to do. But I'm saying it to say people use their money as a barrier of entry and a competitive advantage. So it's very hard to compete with Coca-Cola because it's so big. A person would need $43 billion to compete with Coca-Cola. And how many soda companies can get $43 billion just to compete with Coca-Cola? Probably it's not going to happen. That's what gives it its competitive advantage, is money, is moolah, right? So smaller companies like penny stock companies or whatnot, a marijuana company, people find out I'm making marijuana back in my yard and I'm doing very well with it, people will start to say, hey, you know what? I can do that. And then they'll start to compete with you. So that's why I like larger companies, because they give them a competitive advantage because of their name. Because the name doesn't show up on the balance sheet. Just the name Coca-Cola alone is worth billions and billions of dollars. Just the name Disney alone is worth billions and billions of dollars. It doesn't show up on a balance sheet, but it gives people a competitive advantage. When Coca-Cola call, people are going to be open to do business. Versus if Prince Dykes Soda Company call, who is this? What is this? Where are you guys from? All these questions. People may stall if I even get a response. So just brand equity. Brands have names. So that's why I like companies with big, durable competitive advantages. But yeah, but long story short, you need to know your time horizon, your risk level, how much money can you develop, set aside every month or whatever the case may be. Hopefully I help you out, C. Wayne. Amber Mole said, much respect. My parents didn't start me on a credit card growing up, but we took too many, many trips to the bank. He said, but we took many trips to the bank. And she said too many. So she said, much respect. My parents didn't start me on a credit card growing up, but we took many, many trips to the bank. It took a while to understand the bank was saving my money, not stealing it. Oh, that's nice. So she's speaking to earlier when I said that for my son's 9th birthday, I added him as an authorized user to my credit card. So last year, I purchased him a piece of land for his 8th birthday. Me and him has a piece of land together. Then for his 7th or 6th birthday, I think I got a McDonald's. But this particular time around this year, he now has his own credit card. So if daddy does good with his credit, he will have good credit. So this is a way to start building his credit. So Wesley can't say anything when he gets older. Daddy was investing for you. Daddy got you some good credit, you know. So you have everything you need to succeed. So Coasty says, hi, Prince. Hey, how you doing? Chuck is chilling, said bars. I know, right? I be dropping them bars, man. Financial bars. What y'all know about that? Miss Butterscotch said, at Amber, yes. She's laughing, you know. Said, sometimes they do. Oh, tell my bank stealing your money? Yeah, if you ain't careful. You know, you ain't careful. Kevin said, Prince mixtape 2020. Jaron said, what about DDD? Ooh, DDD, DDD. Y'all give me 1 second. DDD. We'll look up that one for a second. Hi, Prince from Tallahassee. How you doing, Ms. Linda? Thank you for tuning in. Right. Ms. Butterscotch said he'll be in a rude awakening later. Yes, the thing about it is, you know, I think you have to teach people how to manage credit early. You want to be stupid and dumb. I try to teach you as much as you can, especially at a young age. Hey, look, son, look, set you down. We talk about credit. We talk about what it is. If you can build someone's credit, you can tear it down, right? So you're teaching them at a young age how to manage credit properly, right? And the thing about it is we wait we treat it as a taboo. Like my parents taught me, son, stay away from credit cards. Don't ever get one. Don't ever build one. And I remember like it was yesterday. I was in the drive-thru with one of my buddies, and we was going to Wendy's. And he was like, I was like 19. And he paid for the meal with a credit card. I'm like, man, why would you use a credit card, man? My mom always told me to stay away from those. And he was like, nah, man, it's what I use to build credit. And at that time, I had no credit, right? So I ended up getting my first credit card. But I properly managed the credit card. I never got into no wild credit situations, nothing like that. I used it properly. You know, I used it and I paid it off, and I used it and I paid it off. And I've had it now. I'm 35 now, so I had it probably for 12 years or so or whatever. And I properly using it to help build my credit. And I also took out loans, did other things to help build my credit. So I think that instead of treating it like a taboo, like if my parents teach me how to properly manage it and start getting me these topics early and quit letting society teach me, I think we can better shape our children. So all these, no matter what part of life they go into, if they don't get a credit card, they're going to have to buy a house. They're going to need a credit score to get a job. You need a credit score to start a business. You need a credit score to get a business loan. You need a credit score. So we live in a world that's revolved around credit. So I just look at it and say, hey, look, let's start evaluating. Let's start teaching you at a young age. Right? Them are pity bows. Okay, DDD. We'll look at DDD in a second. I think that's a 3DD. Right? He said, Xerox is like an old, like IBM. It's an old company. Stephen Johnson, what's going on? He's tagging somebody else. Wayne, breaking news, North Carolina and Georgia has opened their business effective immediately. Okay, cool. I know they were talking about it, but I know the governor was about to go on. I thought they were talking about Friday, but Georgia, North Carolina, and I think also Texas opened up as well. So the stock market might see a nice day tomorrow. Right? Ms. Butterscotch says, really? What you mean by really? I don't know what she mean by that. Harlem, for me, it's much less about becoming a millionaire, but more about becoming financially free, not having to work for a passive cash. This is how I look at investing in stocks, right? I look at if I have a dollar. I have a dollar in my hand. I don't have one right now. But if I had a dollar in my hand, where can I put this dollar that it can potentially grow? Where can I put it? Can I put it in a checking account and it grows? Probably not. Very slow. And the other thing that's an enemy of my dollar is something called inflation. So can I put it in a checking account? No. Can I put it in a savings account? No. We live in a very low interest rate society, so no to CDs, no to CDs and all that good stuff like that, right? So now I'm looking up into bonds. Bonds, because of very low interest rate society, they're not that attractive. So either I'm left with stocks, real estate, or my own business, right? So where can I put my money to where it can at least match or beat inflation? So the only place I know I can put it at, either stocks, real estate, or my own business. That's the only reason why I invest. I don't invest and make a massive pile. It's just something I have to do. You know, when I look around the world, it's something I have to do. Either I'm going to put it in real estate, I'm going to put it in stocks in my own business, or put it back into myself and maybe pay for some education or skill or something like that. That's the way I look at it. He said, can you show us how to fish on the ETF? I have JPS. We might better get into that one because I know I got another request for DDD. Chuck is chilling. Harlem, credit can make you very, very rich very fast if you're disciplined and use it wisely. Yes. But I also seen what Buffett said. The two things that's ruining people more in life is liquor and leverage. So in credit, pretty much buying stuff on credit. If you buy a bunch of good stock on credit and oil does what it does today, let's say if oil, you bought a bunch of you took out a loan and brought a bunch of oil stock and oil did what it did today. Now you're double down. That's not using credit in a good way. But if you took out a loan, purchased a bunch of oil and oil took off to the moon, then good on you. Right. That's me by using wisely. Corner says, what stocks did you buy? Wesley. Yes. Wesley currently holds Google, Amazon, Apple, McDonald's, NASDAQ, S&P 500, Uber, Space, SPC, Spice, what you want to call it, the Galaxy company. Those are ones I can think of off the top of my head. It's like Google, Amazon, Apple, Spice, Uber, mostly technology companies, mostly a lot of leveraged bullish ETFs on the index for his future. So I don't plan on touching that account for another 10 years. He's 9 now, so he's probably had it since he probably was 4 or something like that. So, yeah, that's how I look at it. Goodness gracious. I'm getting my phone. It's going crazy. All right. Jordan said, you can look up Chuck E. Cheese ETF first. It's no big deal. No, I'm saying that because I only got time for one. I got to get out of here today because my wife wants to go for a walk tonight or this evening. So I got to limit my time. So we're going to do one. I'm going to pick the DDD this time. Chuck is chilling. We're going to have to get to another one another time. That's why I said that, John. But we're going to look up DDD first, okay? So here we go. Oh, let me pull it up so people who are coming in. You know, here we go. So here we go. Where is John's comment? So he said, what about DDD? We're going to pull that up. All right, all right, all right. Let's see. Let's share my screen here. All right, there we go. Here we are. This is DDD. This is the Three Systems. The Three Systems Corporation went up 4% today. It is $7. So first thing I look at this company, it's a no-go. Why is it a no-go? You shouldn't even sit me this. P.E. ratio is N.A. When I look at the P.E. ratio, that's the price to earnings. That means if it's an N.A., if it's a zero there, or if it's a negative, that means this company does not earn money. It's not turning a profit. And you're not turning a profit. I ain't got time for you. It's too many other companies that are turning profits. I'm sorry. So that's a no-go. That was an easy review on DDD. I don't go any further. You don't make a profit, I ain't got time for you. And now, why do you say that, Prince? Is that a dumb way to look? I'm just looking at it this way, ladies and gentlemen. If y'all had a chance to invest into my new record label, I want to start a record label, and you know, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm on a struggle bus. I'm trying to figure my company out. Versus if you had the chance to invest into Universal Records or Atlantic Records that was already up, stable, and profit. Yes, if I get my crap together, yes, I could become a force to work to reckon with, right? But I'm going with Old Faithful. I've been burned. I look at it this way. You have a friend that wants to start a barbershop. Hey, I want to start a barbershop. I need $10,000. Give me a barbershop, and I'm going to cut hair, do this, whatever the case may be. And, you know, you're going to own, you know, 10% of the company, whatever it may be, right? Sounds cool. But then now your friend, they go through problems. They have growing pains. Growing pains mean turning a profit, making the company profitable, getting the proper licenses, getting the proper building, hiring the proper barbers, getting a clientele, all those struggle pains you're going to have for years, right? Or I can go get a piece of Great Clips that's already established. I can look at the finances, all the other good stuff. It's like I see people do all the time. I seen a guy, you know, they'll say, hey, I got rich friends and wealthy friends that buy their mama, they may buy their mama a restaurant. Their mom and dad a restaurant. They always wanted to start. My look is, I disagree with it. You shouldn't buy your parents a restaurant. You should get them a franchise. See, if I buy them a Popeyes, I know when I'm going to be profitable. I know how much it's going to cost. I know how much money it's going to make. I know how much money it's going to lose. I know how they lose. I know how they win. The marketing's already there, the name, the design, everything. Then if that Popeyes becomes profitable and becomes successful, then I would look at getting them their own restaurant. Because going with these, I'm going to get it together companies, they have a strong chance of not getting it together. So I'm not going to jump on the struggle bus. It would be like if I'm looking to catch a ride, I see one car, you know, it's 5 people already in the car. One, it got one flat tire. Somebody's looking up under the hood with smoke, trying to get it together, trying to figure it out so they can give me a ride. Or I can go with my buddy who already, car is already going. I'm going to be like, hey, man, you know what? I feel with y'all. Y'all hit me up, but I'm trying to get to work right now. Let me get in this car that's already going. So that's why I like to call the struggle bus. I ain't trying to deal with that. I said, turn my volume up. Y'all can't hear me? Right? We'll see. Chuck is chilling. Since DDD was so easy, I guess we can jump on into JPS. JPSE. Oh, he's more interested in, when you say you're interested in how to fish, what do you mean by that? You're trying to find ETFs? And if you are trying to find ETFs, what platform do you use? Harlem said, Wes is going to be better than me. I won't say all that. I just want to make his situation better than mine, right? I had a great dad. My dad wasn't big into investing, but he raised four young men. He makes us all, I'm the youngest one. He raised four men. I'm blessed to have a dad that I grew up with. He's still here with me today at 74 years old. He told me he's trying to stay coronavirus free. So that's the way I look at it. He said, that's one awesome start for Wesley. Yeah, try to make it a little bit better for him. Jerron said, okay, thank you. Yes, not profitable. I'm not dealing with you. You know? Jerron, he's laughing. Okay. He says, turn my volume up, please. Hopefully y'all can hear me. Jerron said, I can hear you. Okay, cool. Chuck and Chillin said, you're fine. Okay, cool. Wayne said, I can. Okay, I can. Volume is fine. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, I thought my volume was, had something happened to my volume. So I'm with Robinhood and E-Trade. So we'll do it on E-Trade. We'll do it on E-Trade. Y'all give me 1 second. He said he's trying to research ETFs on E-Trade. I'll probably end up making a tutorial on this, like a video I probably put up so it can be easier to find. So let me pull up my E-Trade. All right. Let's go to ETF screener. Okay. So here we go. How to look up ETFs, how to fish on E-Trade. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, I'm acting like I'm shooting a tutorial, but I'm not. But here we go. So you go right here when you log on, go to ETFs. Right below that, go to ETF screener, right? So right here, this is going to pull up your screener for ETFs. What type of ETFs are you looking for? So the fund category. So you can choose. Why is that not opening? Oh, my bad. I'm hitting the wrong button. What type of rating you want? Do you want to be a 5-star, 4-star, 1-star? The expense ratio. The expense ratio is how much the fund management charges. You can look at that. You can look up fund characteristics, dividend strategy, fund for fund of funds. I don't know what you want to look up as far as that. The yield, if you're looking for something, a high yield, a low yield, whatever the case may be. Market returns category. The ones that have done better than the market, the yield, you know, how they performance or whatnot. Predefined strategies. You got a broad base. So you got a bunch of different little filters you can add on right here and hit the search button and find different ETFs that you're looking for. So, you know, you can look for income producing. These are all your little filters over here. Then you got the all-star. If you're looking for all-star funds, ETF, the top 100, 10% of all-star, I'm guessing these are high-performing ones. You can look at these large cap companies. And if you want to compare them, you can compare a fund to a fund. I always compare a fund to the S&P 500 or ETF to the S&P 500. If you ain't beating that, don't waste my time, right? Category, right? Category analysis, you can look at, you know, a breakdown of, you know, Japan stocks, all the different categories, all the other good stuff. And you can do all that. Just go to ETF. And go to ETF screener right up under here, all right? Hope that helps. He said, do some shorts. Okay. Shorts on automotive E-Trade. Okay. Man. And we also, I want to teach them how to,
what's the ETF?
Lynn says, so S-O? I think you're talking about short in oil. I'm not sure what you're talking about with that one. Yeah, he said can go back to it. The video would be great. Yeah, I got that written down. That'll probably be my next video. I'll probably do an ETF on how to research, you know, how to research ETFs with E-Trade. That'll probably be the name of it. TPR, Mr. Lawman said. I'm not going to be able to look that one up on the show because I'm about to end the show. I got to get out of here while I still got some sunlight here in Denver. Prince, what should the expense ratio, the lower the better, right? Anything below 1% is good. You know, anything over 1% is definitely high, but it should be, especially for a passive ETF, it should actually be low 0.50. So the lower the better, unless it's some type of inverse ETF. An inverse ETF is very active. So if you ain't been the S&P 500, you have no excuse to give me to charge me more money. Right? Here's a Prince. What do you think of PPP loan program would ultimately make the economy worse by July? This is the payroll protection plan that was created by the Department of Treasury to keep people on payroll so companies didn't lay people off, so they didn't shoot up unemployment. With the economy opening back up, it could work perfectly, but the economy shuts. If we continue to pay people, they're going to print more money. It's going to cause hyperinflation. That's all PPP mean. Print more paper. That's it. Chuck and Chill said, thank you. Anytime. Okay. Anytime, Chuck and Chillin. And Layman says 345. Also, guys and girls, for the people that are still tuned in, I just got an email confirmation. I'm going to show it to you guys and girls, too. Well, I have to show it to you. I don't want to pull it up. But we just got a show here. Where we were talking about, Mr. Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He's supposed to be on here in 2 weeks, I think. He said he's going to, it's confirmed that he's going to come on here in 2 weeks. We're going to try to work that out. So, shouts out to Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the number one financial literacy book in the world of all time. Thank him for tuning into the show and checking out the show and thinking enough to come on to the show and to talk to you guys and girls live. So, hopefully we can make that happen. Here we go. Thank you. He said, happy white, happy light. Don't let us get you in trouble. I know, right? All right, there, Ms. Butterscotch. But all right. She said, that's right, Chuck. Yeah, I know, right? I got to go out here and, take this walk with my wife. So, but I appreciate all you guys and girls for the support. Thank y'all for tuning in. I read the book a few years ago. Yes, he's just got an email from him right before I came onto the show, saying that I think it's May 4th or 6th, something like that. So, yeah. So, I'm gonna show it to you guys and girls. You know what? I'll show it to you. Screw it. Since I only know the real fans are tuned in now, and I greatly appreciate it. You know, hopefully I can make this date happen, right? Hopefully, I can make this date happen. Please know my schedule shifts up all the time, but I'm gonna try to make it happen. And you know, if you're a fan of Valuetainment, I think Valuetainment is supposed to be on May 4th. And on Wednesday, we're having a financial literacy company coming in for children to talk about financial literacy during the, what you call it? All right. Here we go. Give me 1 second. Where is it at? So there you go, guys and girls. Y'all can see it right here. Let me move my banner out the way. Where's this banner at? So here it is. That's the email that I got today. I'll let y'all see it all the way. It says, hi, Prince. Thank you for following up. Mr. Kiyosaki can do a 30-minute on Wednesday, May 6th at 1:30 p.m. via Zoom preferred. But let me know if that'll work. So, yes. So I haven't responded to that and made sure that data worked. But I'm going to try to make sure that time will work. But that'll be nice to see him come on to the show. Love him. Yeah, he's always a big, that's why I want to come talk about real estate, talk about the stock market crash. I want to talk about how real estate is, you know, is the best and stocks are this or whatnot. I want to see what he got to say. I would love to see what he has to say, right? She said, awesome. Prince, get gone now. Oh, yeah, let me get. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else y'all see me do around the globe. One last question, the last one I see. Courtney, he says, why can't you set up money to be automatically put into VOO on TD Ameritrade? You can, but you have to call in. You have to call in to set up an automatic, you know, to have your money automatically invested. Where there's E-Trade, you can do it automatically through E-Trade. So E-Trade has AIP, automatic investment plan. TD Ameritrade, you got to actually call in and do it. I know it sounds crazy and suck, but that's what you got to do with TD Ameritrade. So anyway, thank you guys and girls. Until the next video, podcast, cartoon, whatever else you see me do crazy around the globe. Peace. Be safe. I'm out. Thank you.